Choose freedom.
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the phenomenon of prepping seems to go through like highs and lows. And it feels like I remember back when Obama was president, prepping was like the big thing. There were reality shows about it. Everybody was storing food and stuff. Because I think nobody had hope that it was ever going to get any better. Then Trump got elected, and I feel like prepping kind of like fell, you know, wasn't as culturally relevant anymore. But now we're on the cusp of World War III, nuclear exchange, total destruction, fuel rationing already taking place all over the world. And people are starting to get prepared again. Well, the best way to get prepared is to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself an Alex Jones signature Faraday bag bundle. The bag itself is well worth the full price in order to keep your electronics safe and avoid the electromagnetic waves that may result from a high-altitude nuclear explosion. But it also comes jam-packed full of other great goodies like the Tactical Trench Knife, the America First T-shirt, MK Ultra plus Atomic Defense, a ton of other great supplements. All together, you could buy them individually for around $600. We're giving it all to you for less than $250. And for VIP members, it's only $199.99. So do not wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, get your Faraday bag bundle for a third the price that it could sell for. It could probably sell for a lot more than that, actually. It's really high quality stuff. Get it today. We're running out of supplies. Get yours while you can. Better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. Do your prepping before you need to be prepped, folks. And with that, I'm very, very happy to welcome my guest, Royce White. He is a native of Minnesota's Twin Cities, born and raised in St. Paul's historic Rondo community. A standout basketball talent, he was named Minnesota Mr. Basketball in high school, starred in Iowa State University, leading the Big 12 in nearly every major statistical category, and was selected 16th overall by the Houston Rockets in the 2012 NBA Draft. His professional career extended to championship-winning seasons in Canada, where he earned MVP honors and set records, as well as stints in the Big 3-on-3 league, where he currently serves as co-captain. And of course, it goes on and on. And typically, you know, we would tout your political acumen and all this stuff, but actually, the ball games are important now with what's going on in America. You can follow Royce White by visiting his website, RoyceWhite.us, or by following him on X at Highway_30. Royce, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good afternoon, brother. Good to be here with you.
I'm glad you're here, and I feel like you're the perfect person for the big story that broke yesterday about Chicago Bulls player Jaden Ivey being essentially booted from the team for expressing just the most moderate disagreement with the LGBTQ pride agenda. As somebody with experience in the NBA, what's your take on this? What do you think of the reaction that he was actually kicked from the team for what he said?
We're living through a color revolution. That was my initial reaction. Color revolution is here. It's on. It's happening. And my thoughts are always now centered around the global. And in my campaign and running for U.S. Senate, and even when I ran for Congress, one of the things I said often on the trail was that the global affects the local. And I'm constantly thinking about the geopolitics, because how could you not? I mean, we're on the brink of a world war, right? Yeah. As you said. And it just dawns on me that in the vein of what Alex said yesterday on social media and many others in the America First movement who are opposed to the war, it shocks me that many of our detractors or critics out there, like the Mark Levins, don't see the crisis of attacks against Christians here at home just as, if not more, dangerous and insidious than whatever dangers there are a world away in the Middle East or anywhere else on the planet. And that was my initial thought, is like, this is the crisis against Christianity and of our country that we should be focused on. When we say America First, this is exactly what we're talking about. And how could we let this stand? Even from a legal and jurisprudential standpoint, yep. You know, they're going to make 1,000 excuses and say, oh, well, a private company has the right to fire who they want and terminate who they want, just like the social media platforms have a right to censor who they want. At some point, our monopoly antitrust laws, at some point, there have to be Christian discrimination lawsuits that protect Christians. Christians are not covered under the law in this country, and that's become extremely obvious.
Yeah, and it is extremely ridiculous because of the, you know, inequity of the way that religions are talked about. I mean, nobody would kick a Muslim off a team for opposing LGBT. They'd be celebrated and uplifted. I mean, the inequity is really glaring when it comes to Christianity, and it's making some people hypocrites. I saw this, and I think this goes to exactly what you're talking about. Dana Leish, you know the lady, says the Bulls are punishing a player for being a Christian. This is religious discrimination. Now, she's right. I don't disagree with her. But then somebody else pointed out, you were just supporting this 2 weeks ago when it was Kyrie Prejean Buller, who, of course, was kicked off of the, you know, White House Religious Tolerance Board for promoting her Christian beliefs. So, I mean, this is a really big issue. And, you know, Jaden Ivey sort of brings it to the fore in popular culture. But, I mean, anti-Christian discrimination is really heating up rapidly. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the Jaden Ivey story is sort of on three fronts. The first front is obviously if the left, the contradiction, if he had come out as gay and he had been let go or released from the team because he was homosexual, the entire left would have cried discrimination. Obviously, I mean that kind of goes without saying, and they would have demanded legal reparation for it. By the way, for the anti-LGBTQ hatred, bigotry from the NBA. So the double standard is pretty clear, and I think, you know, maybe even more importantly, but certainly just as important, is this color revolution. This stuff, from a legal standpoint, has reached a level of national security threat. And I do think it's that serious. I mean, people will look at it and say, it's just another NBA player. He can't just be saying whatever he wants. No freedom of speech without consequence. Well, actually, I think we need to, and as you were alluding to in the previous segment, we need to start to evaluate how to properly interpret freedom of speech in the workplace and when it comes to corporations.
Right.
And if we don't do that, then we don't have freedom of speech. Actually, it's just a fictitious idea, much like the rule of law when you have corrupt Supreme Court justices. But, you know, even when it comes to freedom of speech, it's like, yeah, sure, a company has a right to its own freedom of speech in a way. Every corporate entity has a right to express itself how it wants to and fire and hire who it wants. But in principle, it should be trying to, at least on face value, uphold a fair amount equity, as you would say, as you could put it, equity when it comes to the value of freedom of speech. And it's like they're not even pretending that freedom of speech is a value that they hold in any regard. And it's become widespread on the left across the entire corporatocracy. It's like, you know, it's the freedom of speech piece just comes and goes. It blows with the wind, and we can't have it that way. And ultimately, if Christians keep getting crushed like this under the weight of this corrupt color revolution, my God, I mean, there won't be a place for us to you know, celebrate Holy Week here in the near future.
So what do we do? What do we do about? I mean, are we just not standing up for ourselves enough? The crew just pulled up a headline, and of course they're going to say MAGA cries about Christian discrimination. But there's this again, you know, inequity. I feel like we need even a better word, because I always say, like, it's not as if, well, a Christian person said something and a Jewish person said the same thing, and only the Christian's getting, you know, punished. It's like, Okay, a Christian basically said, I think LGBT is kind of unrighteous. That's it. That's what he said. That was the big crime. He gets fired from his job. Meanwhile, you know. Well, hell, I mean, especially when you look at the corporate thing with the NBA, Miles Bridges was a guy who was arrested and criminally charged with multiple felony counts of domestic violence and child abuse after an alleged assault on the mother of his children. He only got a 30-game suspension and remained with the team. Meanwhile, you say that Pride Month is maybe not the most righteous thing in the world, and you get cut. So there's just an inequality and a total unbalance of of the way this is being treated.
Can we go to this for sure? I mean, the NBA trying to act like they're the moral arbiter of anything based on this kid's comments is completely dishonest and reprehensible. But can we take it down to this level? I don't want to give any merit to the allegations against Miles Bridges, because we know how prominent the Me Too feminism is as well, right? Sure. And on face value, at least, you say this thing happened in the public, so it has a sort of ramification, a ripple effect. Is, you know, you're not treating it fairly. Okay, cool. But the Miles Bridges thing, I know plenty of women who get in a fight with their boyfriend or child's father or husband and say, oh, he beat me up, he's hurting the kid. And we got to put a stop to that, too. That's also part of the legal crisis in our country. But, you know, it's let's take it down to this level. And I was saying this earlier on my daily call-in show. Now we're doing it in the morning at 7 a.m. I got to get you to come in at 7 a.m. if you're ever up that early and be a guest. But
I stay up that late, maybe.
We'll have you do a 24-hour, hold through to the show.
I'd wake up early for you. That'd be fun.
You know, this even communism, right? Like, and I was saying earlier this morning that we have to start the attack on us through language is profound and significant, and even communism. And today I used the term Fox News communists. And I'm sure that would blow a lot of conservative folks' minds, not the people who watch this show, but just, you know, in general. And the reason why I say is, like, we have to start to really hone in on some of these definitions that we just casually have used over the years. And I think that's true of freedom of speech. But I'll give you an example, and it's not unrelated to the NBA because they have a significant Jewish lobby influence. I mean, Adam Silver's father was the founder of Prokshire in New York City, which was the sine qua non of the legal Jewish sphere of influence in New York City and maybe the entire modern world. I mean, Prokshire was the law firm that the Jewish folks went to because the WASP law firms didn't accept Jews back then, which is just a matter of historical fact. But right. So it's not by accident Adam Silver's father is the commissioner of the NBA, and they're all lawyers. And the things that they push in terms of the policies and even the way that they treat some of these players is all intended to be a part of the control of the narrative. Communism, for example, okay, and we're in a war. And it's like, if you believe in the socialization of risk on money that you print that doesn't really exist, on the backs of future working class sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, and then you try and paper the whole thing over by placing the interest and burden back on those same people, and then you have a global dollar empire that's based on your currency, you know, the strength and value of your currency, or the faith in your currency, you're a communist. Like, if you print money that you don't have and then you send it to a military-industrial complex for a war a world away and you socialize the risk on the working class, you're a communist. And we just have to get razor sharp about how we define these issues. Because right now I'm saying anybody who's supporting this war in Iran, in theory and in principle, is a communist. Now, I'm not saying there's not a certain level of socialism throughout our entire country and throughout our entire society, American society or culture, because there is a certain amount of socialism we accept. But if you tune into Fox News, they'll go, Governor Tim Walz, he's unfit to be the governor of Minnesota or any state or certainly vice president because he said socialism, one man's socialism is another man's neighborliness. And I would certainly agree that there's only a degree of separation, if that, between socialism and communism. Right. And so from the halls of the Capitol here in St. Paul to the locker rooms of the NBA to the front line of the war there in Iran, all the way to the CCP in Beijing, we are under a communist color revolution. And it's quite clear, actually, once you kind of just step back from it and let it be what it is. It's very clear.
And it's sort of like, I mean, they still privatize the gains, though, don't they? They socialize the losses in private. So we're really getting the worst of everything.
Ultra
the worst
communism.
Parts of capitalism, worst parts of communism. It's a smorgasbord. We pick and choose only the worst parts. But no, you're exactly right. And I want to drill down on a couple things you mentioned, which is the pressure that comes to bear on these players, because this seems to be a little bit different than normal. And I wonder if this is a sign of really a significant change in the culture, because typically what would happen, we've seen this before, an athlete would come out, they'd say something, I don't want to do Pride Night. And then it was like they were taken into a back room. God only knows what machine was hooked up to them. But the next day they'd come out going, I'm so sorry. I let my team down. I let my family down. And I just want to apologize. And it's like, what did they do to you? You had a firmly held religious belief yesterday. You're denouncing it today. What do they do to people in between these two announcements?
I could tell you exactly what they do because it happened to me. They threaten you. That's what they do. See, people, and this is this. I probably should have led with this. I'm caught up in the geopolitics because I'm running for U.S. Senate. But as far as a personal anecdote about the NBA and how it works, people forget that I fought for mental health policy, not the woke transgender mental health policy. I mean legitimate, like, hey, people are struggling with alcohol abuse and drug addiction and anxiety and depression and PTSD from growing up in the south on the south side of Chicago under Marxist Democrats makes you feel like you lived there through Fallujah.
Right.
But about a degree of difference between Fallujah, Iraq in the 90s or 2000s in the south side of Chicago.
Right.
But, you know, I fought the NBA on mental health policy then, and they're so brazen and arrogant. They actually had the audacity to tell me, young man, you're right about the mental health crisis. You're right about the lack of policy. But who are you to force us to do it? You don't have any money yet. You don't have a lot of notoriety or fame. And we are the gatekeepers to the very things you would need to push this cause forward. So you can either shut up and wait until you're a little more famous and rich to be a trailblazer, a pioneer about this specific social issue, which has exploded now nationwide and worldwide. There's a full-blown mental health crisis. I would say it's more in pathomania and, you know, mass formation psychosis. But, you know, all in all, it's a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
And they told me straight up and down, you can shut up and play along, and we'll help you do everything you want to do.
Oh, sure.
Or you can keep talking, and you'll be, a joke in the ash bin of history. And I actually told David Stern in a conversation that the both of us had that he was going to die before I did, and that God will not be mocked. And at the end of the day, they could keep their money. They can have their money. They can have their superficial fame and status. But here I am anyway, and I'm going to continue to fight. A lot of these players don't have that same courage. They feel that they're when you grow up as a basketball player from 5 years old, that's right, all you've ever done, especially with any rigorous discipline, your entire identity is wrapped up in the sport. And so you finally make it to the pinnacle. Your dream comes true. And you have these people who you've never met pull you into a black room, mm-hmm, no pun intended, pull you into a back room and threaten to take your dream away from you. Of course, a lot of people are gonna fold under that pressure.
And it's social pressure too, isn't it? That's what I always assume, because I try to picture how these conversations go, and I always imagine the, hey, look, we understand you have a really, you know, you feel strongly about this, and we respect that, but do you really want to make the rest of the team suffer? You know, you're going to really cost these guys a championship if you keep going like this. Is that really what you want to? I mean, how much is that sort of pressure used, or is it more just blunt? I mean, the way you're saying it, it sounds like they're just straight up like, we will destroy you, so shut up. I mean,
the loose camaraderie that comes through in the promotion of basketball is just that. It's very loose behind the scenes. I mean, they may try and run that gamut on you, like, hey, you're going to mess up the chemistry if you – but you got to remember Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time, took his own private plane away from the other players because, hell, he was Michael Jordan. And
right,
in many ways, he had earned that right. And I'm not against that. I mean, from a meritocratic standpoint, if Michael Jordan wanted to take two unicorns to the basketball right, game, fair play to him, right, because he earned that.
He earned it, yeah.
He's the greatest of all time. But, you know, that's probably not as much as – your agent would come to you, you know, maybe your financial advisor, maybe, somebody from one of the shoe companies from the endorsement side of things, maybe your publicist, right? And they have these backdoor channels to the league or the commissioner or you know, the team administration. And there's a conversation that happens behind your back about the, you know, the betterment of your career and your financial stability and your mother and father. They get them on the phone or on the plane to come in and say, hey, don't forget, you know, we got to keep paying for your little brother's private school.
Right.
Right. So they use the social pressure in that way. And then when all else fails, they'll just wage a full-blown media propaganda campaign against you like they're doing to this young man right now.
Yeah.
There's actually a thread of social media that would suggest this kid isn't good enough to have an opinion that's controversial, which is blatantly immoral, right? Just in principle. I mean, who cares how many points he's scoring? Why should that even impact what he's saying, if he has a right to, and if it's true? And then obviously that he's bigoted, right? That he's hateful for even saying there's an unrighteousness to this propaganda, which is them doubling down on the communist color revolution, that there are no sexual ethics or morals anymore, unless your name is President Trump or anybody else who wants to run for office. Then any woman you ever slept with or even looked at becomes a cudgel that's going to be used against you.
Yeah, that's very true. And of course, you know, this goes back. There was a decision yesterday about conversion therapy. My argument always was like, you can either ban both or ban neither. But obviously, there's an ideological monopolization that's going on where they're saying you have to promote pride, which is a moral framework that is different and contrary to Christianity. They're saying you cannot promote Christianity. You have to promote pride. I mean, if that's not a violation of the fundamental, you know, purpose of the First Amendment and freedom of religion, I don't know what is.
I'm not sure how we've gotten to this place, but we certainly need to do something fast to get out of it. And again, like I said earlier, I think the war is a world away. You know, there are two competing theories. And one, you could say, hey, President Trump just wanted to remind the Muslims that we will do violence, because there is a doormat Christianity that pervades all of Western society.
True.
And that's part of what we're talking about here, is this doormat Christianity has been crushed under the Supreme Court or the courts down the trough. Yep. Here in this country, it's been crushed by the corporatocracy. Christianity is getting crushed at every angle. So at least the president had the military to send a gut punch and a reminder to the Muslims, hey, we will do violence. We're not just going to sit back and watch this. So there's that theory of the case. And then there's the theory of the case that even if you accept that is true and maybe necessary, the real crisis of an intifada, of a communist color revolution, of the traitors in the courts or in the Senate or in the House, it's right here at home. I mean, right. the front line, the front wave, first wave of that war is right here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Ilhan Omar seems all but can't be defeated in her district. Yeah. I mean, that tells you where the fight really is. It's not in Tehran or anywhere in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree with you more. Can you stay with us for the whole hour? I wasn't sure if you could keep us. You can? Okay, thank you very much. All right, because I don't want to end right now. There's so much more to get into, because this really does sort of touches everything that we're talking about today. It does have to do with the Iran war and the effects that it's having here, and the effects of Israel and trying to push anti-Semitism bills. I mean, we are very rapidly, literally losing the First Amendment because we're not fighting for it, because we're not standing up for ourselves. And I see sort of a similarity. I always talk about how, you know, the leftist view of race is very sort of a weird inverted white supremacy, where they go, you know, white people are fine. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't need any, you know, defense. We're white people. We'll be fine. It's like, no, you won't. And it's almost the same with Christianity, where it's just like, we're Christian. We're all Christian. It's fine. It's like, no, you can go away too. You deserve protection too. More with Royce White on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.